welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting shows from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark LeVanier, and coming up in this hour, adventure from one program, broadcast in two parts, it's Counterspy. On the air from May of 1942 through November of 1957, a long-running show with very few episodes that have survived the test of time, but we will hear Don McLaughlin and Mandel Kramer star in two broadcasts, a two-parter, heard on a Tuesday and Thursday, the first being from September 20th, 1949 on ABC. It's part one of The Case of the Postal Pirates.
Counterspy.
Washington calling David Harding, counterspy. Washington calling David Harding, counterspy.
Harding, counterspy, calling Washington.
United States counterspies, especially appointed to investigate and combat the enemies of our country, both at home and abroad.
Tonight, the case of the postal pirates, another counterspy report to the American people. In one of New York City's larger post office branches, it is mid-afternoon and fairly quiet. Then, through the street door, comes a remarkably pretty girl of perhaps 27. Her eyes are surprisingly cold and searching until they reach window number 5.
What'll it be, miss?
Oh, hello.
Hello, handsome. 103s.
5 days in a row, 103-cent stamps. So you do a lot of mailing.
I've got a lot of friends.
I'll bet.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see the reason why.
Oh, I didn't know postal clerks could make such pretty speeches.
Oh, there are a lot of other things we can do, too.
That why they keep you locked up in a cage?
Well, if you'd like to find out, they let us out at 5.
Feeding time for the animals?
Oh, you might say.
Well, I always did like animals, especially big, burly ones.
Well, this one feeds at the Shamrock across the street from here.
Oh, there?
Mm-hmm.
That looks like a place where they feed the animals. Okay, I'll pick you up here at 5.
Here's the last of the dishes, baby.
Put them in the sink. We'll let them soak.
All right.
No, isn't my apartment, even with the dishes, better than a public restaurant? Hmm?
Baby, I even love the dishes. And now that we've wined and dined, how about a name? Not that I'd object to calling you baby permanently.
I was wondering when you'd ask. It's Kathy.
It's nice. Goes good with mine, Jimmy.
Is that all? No more questions?
Well, my mother taught me never to look a gift horse in the mouth.
Horse? Well, I'm not sure I like that. Jimmy.
Yeah.
Come here.
Well?
You know, post office isn't only work. It's a game, too.
Yeah, I've played it. It goes something like this, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, don't crush. I'm fragile.
Oh, who reads labels? It's a waste of time.
You know, I might have a husband.
Well, if you do, he's a chump to let you out of his sight.
He's a chump.
Oh, you have one?
Oh, only on paper. We're separated. He pays the bills and prays for an excuse to divorce me.
You're trying to give him one?
Don't be silly. I said he pays the bills. Are you, bothered?
Yeah, a little. It marks you handled with care.
I thought you said you didn't read labels. Try closing your eyes.
That's an idea. Come here.
Oh, remember, fragile. Oh, Jimmy.
Oh. My. What a pretty picture.
Oh, Nick. What's the idea of busting in here?
Well, me and Frank just got a lovely snapshot for my album. You got it all right, didn't you, Frank?
Right here from the doorway with my trusty camera.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what is this?
Evidence, big boy. That's why I brought my boy Frank and his camera along. Been waiting a long time for my darling wife, Kathy, to step out of line.
Nick, you got this all wrong. I just met him today.
Fast worker. And if I got it wrong, the camera hasn't. Right, Frank?
A perfect shot.
You're Kathy's husband?
Sure. I'm not sore. You done me a favor.
Well, you're not going to pull a stunt like this on her.
Take your hands off me. Let go.
Take it easy, mister. I make two of you.
Yeah? Then this will cut you down to size, big boy.
Jimmy, look out! A gun! Get it away from him!
Okay, Nick, now I got the gun. Now get out of here.
You kidding? What you took, I can take back.
No! Nick's dead, Jimmy.
Holy mackerel.
Dead?
You're a little late dropping the gun, big boy.
But how could... I didn't mean...
It's done. He's dead.
Oh. Well, we'll have to call the police.
Jimmy, don't be a fool. If Nick's body is found here, what do you think this mess will look like to the cops?
It was an accident.
The cops will love that one.
Listen, Jimmy. Nick taught me a lot of things besides what a heel he was. Nick was in the rackets.
In the rackets?
Yeah, kid. He had a lot of enemies. If he's found beside a road, nobody will ask twice who did it.
What are you figuring, Frank? That this sets you up to take over Nick's racket?
Yeah. I can get hold of a couple of boys to help me get rid of Nick, and then we'll all keep quiet. I slip into Nick's spot, you two are in the clear. How do you like it, Kathy?
Okay, Frank.
But, Kathy, it's an awful chance.
Look, Jimmy, look, I like your style, and I don't want you wasting it in some jail cell while I'm around. You beat it now and let Frank take care of things. You stay away from me until I call you at home. And that won't be long, honey. That won't be long.
Hello?
Jimmy? Kathy?
Kathy, I've been staying home every night. I thought you'd never call. What happened? Did Frank?
He said it's all right, but he wants to see you. Half an hour, in front of the Shamrock.
This is David Harding. To counter-spy agents in Chicago, Detroit, Philadelphia, and Boston. Continue investigation, parcel post theft ring. Take no action, make no arrests, but lay plans to close in on known members of ring at a moment's notice. Special attention, Boston field office. Have Harry Peters telephone me as soon as possible.
Hey, Frank, what did you want to see me for? Where are we driving? Everything's all right, isn't it?
For me, Jimmy, yeah. For you, only maybe.
Maybe?
Depends on how you play ball.
What are you driving at?
Photograph I took. Not of you and Kathy, but of you and Nick.
Nick? Well, what does it show?
Take a look.
Huh. Looks like I killed him deliberately.
I cut it perfect. With Nick on the floor and you over him holding the gun. If that picture should show up when Nick is found, boy, oh brother.
What do you want? Money?
From a postal clerk.
Then what do you want?
I took over Nick's racket. A racket that's worked in the post office.
The post office?
Yeah. Nick had guys in post offices stealing valuable packages.
What, just walking out with them?
No. After people insure their packages, our guys relabel them. Send them to a special address.
That's what you want me to do?
Let's say this photo wants you to do it. And, of course, Kathy. She don't want to get mixed up in no murder rap.
Kathy.
Well, Ken?
All right, Frank. I guess there's nothing else I can do.
United States Counter Spies, Washington headquarters. Oh, yes, Mr. Peters. Will you hold on just a moment?
Attention, Statistical Department. If Mr. David Harding is there, will he please take a rush phone call on extension 61 from Mr. Harry Peters, extension 61.
Hello, Peters. I've been waiting to hear from you. How's it going in Boston?
Pretty well, Dave. We've got a line on all the small fry here. We're ready to pick them up on a moment's notice.
That's good. I've got the same reports from Chicago, Detroit, and Philadelphia. But what's bad is the racket started in New York, too.
Oh, great.
As nearly as I can make out, this parcel post theft ring has been in operation about 3 months. They've stolen over $1 million in merchandise already. We pick up the small fry and the big shots just start over again.
I agree, Dave.
I'm going up to New York. I want you to meet me there. We'll take up the investigation together.
Fine. When?
Tomorrow. And you can spend the time in between reading postal regulations.
I know them backwards already, Dave.
Good. I'll have something else for you. Your credentials as Harry Gordon, postal clerk.
Jimmy.
Yeah, what now, Harry?
My daily stamp reports and registration book. Will you check them to see if they're right?
Well, after 3 weeks, you ought to know yourself.
I'd just like to make sure.
That's my luck, always getting stuck with substitutes.
Guy's got to make a living.
Yeah, I know, I know. I'm sorry, Harry. Let's see.
This post office work isn't so good for a guy's disposition. Hmm?
Forget it. I got troubles. Yeah, your books are okay.
Thanks.
Customer at your window.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, mister?
I'd like to have this package insured, please.
For how much?
Well, they're nylon stockings. You better make it $150.
Okay.
How are you doing, Peters?
Okay so far, Dave.
Penny Arcade, 42nd Street and 8th Avenue at 6 o'clock tomorrow.
Here you are, mister. Your receipt.
Will it get there all right?
Sure. Be right on time. Don't worry about it. Shooting, mister.
Like to try a load yourself?
Uh-uh. Pinball's my speed. The other side of the arcade. Come on and watch.
Okay.
Any news on Jimmy Morrison, Dave?
We traced the package I mailed to Jimmy Morrison relabeled. It went to 428 Front Street, a warehouse.
A warehouse?
Maybe the central warehouse for the whole racket. Well, here's your pinball machine.
Watch me, boy.
One thing more. We picked up another outside contact. Your man, Jimmy Morrison, frequently meets a blonde bombshell.
46,000?
Yeah.
Blonde bombshell. Want me to follow that?
She may be the big shot we're looking for. Not so good that time.
Just watch this one.
Morrison has lunch with the blonde in the main dining room of the Shamrock every day.
Okay, I'll catch him tomorrow at the Shamrock.
Kathy, I tell you, we can't keep it up.
Look, Jimmy, we have to. Besides, don't you like spending the extra dough on me?
Oh, honey, if it wasn't for you. Why did Nick have...
Forget that name,
Jimmy. He could have gotten that divorce, then we could have...
What's the matter?
A guy coming toward us.
Well?
Harry Gordon, he works with me at the post office.
Oh.
Hello, Jimmy. I almost missed you way over here in the corner.
Hi, Harry.
Well?
Well, what?
No knockdown.
This is Kathy Thomas.
Hi.
Hello.
Mind if I join you? Thanks.
What's on your mind, Harry? You want me to check your books again?
No. In fact, this is kind of private.
Jimmy's got no secrets from me.
Oh, like that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This might be embarrassing.
I'm blushing. Speak your piece.
What is it, Harry?
Okay. Here it is in three little words. I want in.
that a riddle?
Let's cut the sparring, Jimmy. I got eyes and you got careless sometimes.
Look, look, I don't...
Wait a minute, Jimmy. Go on, Harry. Let's hear your spiel.
Okay, sister. Your boyfriend here has been making funny with the post office. Packages come in from dress goods houses, jewelers, appliance dealers, and what have you. Junior here gets them, relabels them, and five will get you 10. They wind up where they shouldn't.
We've got an awful big nose. Things could happen to it.
Easy, Jimmy, easy. He's a bright boy. Harry, I suppose you could do what Jimmy's doing.
I take it I'm in.
Yes, if you have to be told.
Kathy.
It's all right, Jimmy. Harry, we'll get in touch with you.
Don't keep me waiting. I'm impatient.
In a day or two. No, we'd like to have our dinner.
Sure thing. Goodbye, Miss Thomas. Jimmy, my apologies. I had you figured about five sizes too big. So long.
Kathy, I don't like it. You declared him in.
Yeah, I did, but Frank has the final word.
You think Frank will turn him down?
He might. And in that case, I wouldn't want to be in Harry Gordon's shoes.
It's just after 5 p.m. in Midtown, New York. From a tall marble building, Peters, alias Harry Gordon, postal clerk, emerges to join the homeward bound throng. A man sidles up to him.
Hello, Harry.
What?
Who are you?
Guy you wanted to see, Kathy told me.
Oh, fast work.
I've got my car. We'll go for a drive. That way, conversation's private. Come on. Okay, Harry, stay on the West Side Highway now.
Swell car. Handles nice.
Yeah, I know. I like to drive. Except in city traffic.
And why you wanted me to take the wheel?
One reason.
And the other?
You're a bright boy, Harry.
Thanks.
Yeah, the kind of a guy we'd like to have if we were taking on new guys.
You're not?
We don't like volunteers. We like to pick out our own boys and hold them to us good and tight.
I stick like glue where there's dough.
Glue melts. We prefer something more solid. Now, you might be a right guy.
Thanks.
Or a stoolie.
I can't sing a note.
Maybe even a cop.
I haven't got flat feet.
Maybe, but we never take chances. Hey, slow down, will you? You're going too fast.
I like speed.
Now, don't get cute and try to get a cop on her tail.
A lot of power in this motor.
Slow down, I'll blast your head off.
I thought you'd show a rod sooner or later.
Okay, I showed it. Now slow down.
What for? Right now, this is the safest way I can drive.
You crazy fool, look out!
Close, huh?
You don't slow down, I'll...
Shoot? Then what happens to us both? The needle's pushing 70. 75. 80.
Kill us both.
That's better than you killing me. Look at the needle. 85.
It's a car! Okay, you win. You win. Only slow down.
Toss the gun on the floorboard.
Okay, okay. Now slow it, slow it.
Turn on all your pockets and open the jacket wide. I don't want you to cross
me. Sure, sure. I ain't got another gap. A police siren, a block behind. Cops, now we are in the stove.
Maybe. That's a good boy. No more guns.
Okay, bright boy, we stop, but what are you going to do about those cops coming?
You'll see, tough guy. Get out.
What is this? Only one plainclothes guy in that patrol car.
Peters, I've been tailing you since you got into this car.
What a race you staged.
He pulled a gun on me, Chief. The only way I could make him drop it was to speed up.
Chief, who are you guys?
Counter spies.
Sorry it turned out this way, Dave. It practically tips our hand.
I'd rather have our hand tipped than you dead.
We'll move in right away. We'll hand this fellow over to the police and then go right down to pick up Jimmy and the girl.
Well, Peters, our friend Jimmy's not here.
Yeah. Looks as if he left in a hurry.
He can't possibly know about the chase and... Hey, Peters.
What's the matter?
This magazine opened to page 7.
One of those true crime story magazines.
Open to an article about the capture of Professor Horn.
The case we handled, Dave. Jimmy Morrison's evidently been reading up on criminals.
More than that, Peters. Here's a photograph taken at police headquarters that time. And there you are in the background.
What? Hey, lucky my name isn't given in the caption.
Still, this picture's enough to tell Jimmy Morrison you're not the postal clerk you pretended to be. It's a cinch he saw this and lit out.
He'll head for the girl first. He's soft on her.
We'll go to her place, then. If she's not there, then we go to the warehouse on Front Street, where the gang's been forwarding its loot.
This is David Harding. Attention, counter-spy agents, Boston, Chicago, Detroit, and Philadelphia. Circumstances force us to move now in postal theft investigation. Carry out all raids according to plan. Pick up all members of the ring you can lay your hands on. We will conduct raid on main warehouse here in New York. Act on this order immediately.
Kathy! Kathy!
Jimmy! I thought Frank told you never come near this warehouse.
Forget Frank. We've got to get out of here.
What are you talking about?
That guy, Harry Gordon. He's really a counter-spy.
Counter-spy?
I saw his picture in a magazine.
Oh.
Come on, Kathy. We haven't got any time to lose. There may be...
Kathy, that left.
Oh.
Nick!
What goes, Kathy?
Counter-spies. Jimmy says they're onto us.
What?
Nick, I thought I'd killed you.
Forget it, Jimmy. We're all in a jam now together.
A frame-up.
Look, Jimmy.
You jockeyed me into it.
Yeah, kid. And you're staying in.
Nick, forget the gun. We've got to stick together.
That one loaded with blanks, too, Nick?
Try it and see, kid.
Stop it. The counter-spies could be right outside this minute.
Wait, I'm putting it together, Kathy. At the time you telephoned me, I never gave you my number.
So you didn't.
You didn't even know my last name, then.
That's right. It was a frame. Nick played dead, so you'd be forced into this setup.
Your post office is in a nice district. Good merchandise.
There, you got it all.
Yeah, but the funny thing is, Kathy, you didn't have to frame me. I'd have done anything you wanted me to. But I'm not doing anything more.
Jimmy, we've got to get away from here. The three of us are in this now.
Wrong addition, baby. Huh? Just two. You two.
What?
Get over there. Both of you.
He's crossing us, Jimmy. You and me.
How does it feel, Kathy?
Don't be a sap. Do something.
All Jimmy's going to do is die. Now stand there. I got a letter to type, and I'm strictly a one-finger guy. And I don't want to use it on the trigger. Yet.
All of our agents staked out around the warehouse, Peter?
Yes, Dave, and we're in luck.
Oh, how?
Conway tells me Jimmy Morrison went into the warehouse just a little while ago.
Good. Maybe a meeting of the brains of the mob.
What's that?
Shots from inside the warehouse. Let's go.
You men cover the main floor of the warehouse. Peters and I'll take the office upstairs. Peters.
Holy. Jimmy Morrison and that girl.
Maybe they're still alive. No, she's not.
Jimmy Morrison's gone, too. There's a note, Dave.
Note.
Typed and signed by Jimmy Morrison. Listen, Kathy was no good. She was poison and poisoned me. She really ran this whole package-stealing racket and tricked me into it. There's no chance of getting away. I don't want to, and I won't let her, so I'm going to help her escape the only way she can, by taking her with me. Jimmy Morrison.
Oh.
Well, looks as if the girl was the big shot, Dave. Murder and suicide. This winds up the case nice and neat.
Looks like it, Peters, and I... Wait a minute. The boy's holding the gun.
Well, he was the suicide, according to the note.
Well, the note may say so, but the evidence does not. This was no suicide, Peters. It was murder. Double murder. This is David Harding. The deaths of Jimmy Morrison and Kathy Thomas, plus the simultaneous raids we made in Boston, Chicago, Detroit, and Philadelphia, would have ended our investigation of the parcel post theft ring, except for one small mistake. A mistake that turned an apparent suicide into murder. A mistake that led us straight to the criminal boss who tried to buy life insurance with death. For the exciting conclusion of this case, I invite you to listen Thursday night.
Case of the Postal Pirates, File 2 on Counter Spy. Tonight's Counter Spy program originated in New York, was directed by Leonard L. Bass, dramatized by Palmer Thompson, and featured Don McLaughlin and Mandel Kramer with music by Jesse Crawford. Counter Spy is a Phillips H. Lord production for Pepsi-Cola. Enjoy some Pepsi, ice cold tonight.
Counter Spy with the first part of the case of the Postal Pirates on Tuned to Yesterday from September 20th, 1949 on ABC. It's an hour of adventure on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levanier. We're enjoying Counter Spy and the case of the Postal Pirates in two parts. It would be less than a year later that David Harding Counter Spy would be on the silver screen with Howard St. John portraying David Harding in the film of the same name, and again in the same year with Counter Spy meets Scotland Yard. Let's move on to the conclusion of the case of the Postal Pirates now from September 22nd, 1949.
And now to Counter Spy. For weeks, David Harding has been on the trail of a $1 million syndicate of thieves stealing packages from post offices in a number of eastern cities. Harry Peters, assistant to Mr. Harding, went undercover as a dishonest postal clerk named Harry Gordon, and has made contact with one of the big shots of this racket, Frank Garrett. The two men are now driving in Garrett's car with Peters, alias Harry Gordon, at the wheel.
Okay, Harry, stay on the West Side Highway now.
Swell car. Handles nice.
Yeah, I know. I like to drive, except in city traffic.
And why you wanted me to take the wheel?
One reason.
And the other?
You're a bright boy, Harry.
Thanks.
Yeah, the kind of a guy we'd like to have if we were taking on new guys.
You're not?
We don't like volunteers. We like to pick out our own boys and hold them to us good and tight.
I stick like glue where there's dough.
Glue melts. We prefer something more solid. Now, you might be a right guy.
Thanks.
Or a stoolie.
I can't sing a note.
Maybe even a cop.
I haven't got flat feet.
Maybe, but we never take chances. Hey, slow down, will you? You're going too fast.
I like speed.
Now, don't get cute and try to get a cop on her tail.
Out of power in this motor.
Slow down, I'll blast your head off.
I thought you'd show a rod sooner or later.
Okay, I showed it. Now, slow down.
What for? Right now, this is the safest way I can drive.
You crazy fool, look out!
Close, huh?
You don't slow down, I'll...
Shoot. Then what happens to us both? The needle's pushing 70. 75. 80.
You'll kill us both.
That's better than you killing me. Look at the needle. 85.
It's a car! Siren, a block behind. Cops, now we are in the stove.
Maybe. That's a good boy. No more guns.
Okay, bright boy. We stop, but what are you going to do about
nose guy in that patrol car.
Peters, I've been tailing you ever since you got into this car.
What a race you staged.
He pulled a gun on me, Chief. The only way I could make him drop it was to speed up.
Chief, who are you guys?
Counter spies.
Sorry it turned out this way, Mr. Harding. It practically tips our hand.
Well, I'd rather have our hand tipped than you dead. But come on, we're in a hurry.
What about Garrett here?
We'll turn him over to one of the other cars. Let's get going.
There's the signal, Dave. You can go ahead.
This is David Harding, calling from New York. Attention counter-spy agents, Boston, Chicago, Detroit, and Philadelphia. Circumstances force us to move in immediately on postal theft investigation. Carry out all raids according to plan. Pick up all members of the ring you can lay your hands on. We will conduct raid on main warehouse of the gang here in New York. Act on this order immediately.
Staked out around the warehouse, Peter?
Yes, David. We're in luck.
Oh, how?
Conway tells me that Jimmy Morrison, the crooked postal clerk I've been keeping tabs on, went into the warehouse just a while ago.
Good. Maybe a meeting of the brains of...
What was that?
Shots from inside the warehouse. Let's go. You men cover the main floor of the warehouse. Peters and I'll take the office upstairs.
Jimmy Morrison and that girl.
Maybe they're still alive. No. She's not.
Jimmy Morrison's gone, too. Here's a note.
Note.
Signed by Jimmy Morrison. Listen, Kathy was no good. She was poison and poisoned me. She ran this whole package-stealing racket and tricked me into it. There's no chance of getting away. I don't want to, and I won't let her, so I'm going to help her escape the only way she can, by taking her with me. Jimmy Morrison.
Hmm.
Looks as if this girl Kathy was the big shot, Dave. Murder and suicide. This winds up the case nice and neat.
Looks like it, Peters. Now, wait a minute. The boy's holding the gun.
Well, he was the suicide, according to the note.
This was no suicide, Peters. It was murder. Double murder. The killer may still be in the building.
What?
Alert the squad. Have them go through this warehouse from top to bottom, fast. And that thug who tried to take you for a ride, Frank Garrett, get him up here. I want to talk to him now.
Come on, Garrett. You can climb stairs faster than that.
Okay, copper, don't shove.
Keep moving.
Yeah, sure.
All right, Peters. I'll take care of Garrett. You take charge of the rest of the squad. Report to me on what you find.
Right, Dave.
What's this all about, Mr. Harding?
You wouldn't know?
No.
Okay, let's go into this office. Maybe we can find the answer in there. Start moving, Garrett.
Holy smoke.
It's a pretty picture, isn't it? You know them, Garrett? Young man and the girl?
Yeah, I mean, I...
Yeah is a good enough answer. Maybe you'd like to read this note.
Note?
Go on, help yourself. We found it in this room. Found something else, too.
This kid killed her? Who'd have thought a punk like that?
Could kill. Maybe the person who took this photograph.
Photograph?
I found it lying right here on the desk. A photograph of Jimmy Morrison murdering a man. Take a look at it.
Yeah, I know what.
Who's the other man in the photograph?
I don't know.
Come on, Garrett, make it easy on yourself. This photo was a wonderful club to hold over young Morrison's head. That's probably how you forced him into this parcel post racket. Wasn't it?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Come on, Garrett. Who's the dead man in the picture?
I told you, I don't know.
Don't make me
laugh. Mr. Harding, you read the note. Like it says, that dame Kathy was a big boss in this racket. Okay, she's dead. He killed himself. That winds it up. What more do you want?
I want the person who killed the girl and Morrison.
The note is...
The note was planted to mislead us. Look at Morrison.
He's holding the gun in his hand.
Well, sure, he shot himself.
If he did, there'd be powder burns around the wound in his head. But it's a clean wound. That means he was shot from a slight distance by someone else.
Look, I got nothing to do with it. You had your mitts on me when those shots were fired.
Right. But you know who that someone else was.
I don't know nothing. I ain't saying nothing. You're bright. Figure things out for yourself.
Okay, maybe I will.
No good, Dave. The boys have been through the whole warehouse. Whoever the murderer was, he got away through an abandoned sewer outlet we found in the cellar.
I expected that, Peters.
What about Frank here?
He doesn't want to talk at the moment.
Maybe we can change his mind.
Maybe. In the meantime, get our fingerprint and photographic details. Go over this office, Peters. We're not closing this case till we've caught a double murderer.
Dave, the report on that picture of Jimmy Morrison shooting a man just came in from Washington.
Any results, Peters?
Yes. The man on the floor is Nick Bodie, alias this, that, and the other. Here's the rogues gallery wire photo they sent.
Well, that matches this picture we found in the warehouse, all right.
And according to that picture, Bodie's dead. Unless you figure the photograph for a frame-up.
That's just what I do. There had to be a photographer. Everything all set up. The way I reconstruct it, she and Bodie framed a situation, a fight, so that Morrison could be tricked into this picture.
Yeah, but to convince her... Look at it. Morrison holding a gun. Bodie falling to the floor. Bodie might really be dead.
That's possible, but this picture was too easy for us to find, too convenient, right in the top drawer of the desk.
You think he wanted us to look for a dead body instead of a live one?
Yes. And far from being a murder victim, he's a double murderer. Send for Frank Garrett. We'll have another crack at questioning him about Nick. If he still won't talk, maybe we can use him as bait for our two-time killer.
Platt Empires Incorporated, good morning. Mr. Richardson, I'm sorry he's busy. Will you call back later, please? Can I help you, sir?
I want to see Mr. Richardson.
Who shall I say is calling?
Just Nick, Postal Sales.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Richardson will see salesmen on Tuesdays and Thursdays only.
Beautiful, you give him my name, and if he says that too, I'll go away.
Just a minute. Mr. Richardson, Nick of Postal Sales to see you. Oh, yes, sir. Go right in, sir. That door.
Thanks, beautiful.
Hello, Nick. Come in, come in.
Surprised to see me, Richie?
What are you doing here, you fool?
No. Is there any way to greet a partner, Richie?
Every time the phone rings, I've been expecting counter-spies. Now you're crazy enough to walk in.
I knew you'd be worried, Richie. I wanted to ease your mind.
Or leave the counter-spies to me.
Now, why would I do that? Where else would I find such a good partner for selling my goods?
Selling? You're not thinking of keeping up this racket.
Why not? There's still more millions in it.
Not with me, Nick. You can find somebody else.
But not with a setup like yours. You buy merchandise for about 2,000 stores throughout the country. We spread the stolen goods that thin, there's not a chance of tracing them.
Nick,
you read the papers. Counter spies figure they've broken up the parcel post ring. Even tabbed Kathy Thomas for the boss. She's dead. What better setup do you want?
What about Frank Garrett? They've still got him under arrest. Do you think he'll talk?
Frank will keep his mouth shut as long as we do right by him.
We? He doesn't know about me, does he?
No. I don't leave you out. Because if he talks about me, I talk about you.
What'll we do, Nick? We've got to stop
him. Take it easy, Richie. You're going to bail him out.
Oh, no. I don't want to get into the picture.
You won't. Just be ready with the dough. I know a guy who'll handle the whole thing.
Counter-spy field office in New York, David Harding and his assistant, Harry Peters, are again questioning the prisoner, Frank Garrett.
Now, Garrett,
I showed you this photograph once before.
Yeah.
It shows Morrison, gun in hand, standing beside a man's body on the floor.
Yeah, I see.
We know now that the man on the floor is or was named Nick Bodie. You know him?
No.
You know if he was head of the parcel post racket? Did you see who that is, Peters?
Right.
What's the answer, Garrett?
Look, Mr. Harding, for the last time, I don't know nothing about nothing. In fact, I'm the most ignorant guy you ever arrested. So why don't you call it quits and let me go back to my cell?
You won't have to, Garrett.
Huh?
What is it, Peters?
A lawyer named Carver has just posted bail for Garrett.
Well, now the conversation is getting pleasant.
The guard outside will see that you get your property back. Go on, beat it.
So long, boys.
Of all the cocky
don't
little...
Forget that, Peters. His being bailed out is even better than our letting him go.
I just hate to take that from a guy like him.
You remember I thought we might use him as a decoy for Nick Bodie? This is our chance.
I'll assign an agent to tail him right away, Dave.
Well, Peters, put on the newest man we've got in the New York office.
Well, Garrett's no dope. It'll take an old hand to tail him.
It'll take even more than one. Now, get some new agent out right away. And then bring the four best men in here to me for special instructions. I want to make sure Garrett thinks he's free to go where he wants.
Feel good to be out?
Yeah, sure, Mr. Carver. You got anything else to say?
They'll put a tail on you.
Tell me something I don't know. Like, who gave you the money to put up my bail?
Look, call Paradise 23416 between 10 and 10:30 tonight. It's a lunch counter. Don't ask for anyone. If the right man answers, your name will be the first thing he says.
That's okay, Carterman. I'm expecting a call.
Garrett?
Yeah. Hello, Nick.
You recognize the voice?
Sure. I knew you wouldn't forget me.
You doing any talking?
Not even about the weather. But they got me on two counts, Nick. I don't want to stand still for them.
You won't have to. I'll get you some dough and you can jump bail. You're being tailed right now, I suppose.
Yeah. I got the guy spotted. A crew cut boy, strictly Joe College.
Okay. Now, here's how you lose them fast. You know the Cooley Building, 32nd and Broadway?
Yeah.
There's a side entrance with only a revolving door.
Right.
Let him tail you in there. Then double back and out the same door. When you get outside, step on the doorstop. That'll lock the door so you can get away before he circles the corner of the building.
Right. Cute trick.
When you're sure you're clear, call me at Mercury 46000. We'll pick it up from there.
Harding to Peters. You still with Garrett?
Yes, Dave. He just got out of a cab at 32nd Street and Broadway. He's going in the Cooley Building. I'm about a half a block behind in my car.
Is Stephen still tailing him?
Yeah, it's kind of overeager, though. Got a hunch Garrett spotted him.
Well, keep in touch.
Wait a minute. Garrett just came out of the Cooley Building. There's some trouble at the door. Stevens is locked in.
Good.
Garrett's back in his cab.
Okay. Stay with him. Keep in touch with the other cars. Just make sure Garrett keeps on thinking he's in the clear.
Nick, you shouldn't have told Frank Garrett to call here. This is my office.
I've got my reasons, Richie. I'll get it. Hello? Listen, Frank. Remember Barney's Tavern? Drop in there for a drink. I'll be there. No, don't talk to me in the tavern. If it looks clear, I'll get up and walk out to the parking lot around the corner, where they rent cars. I'll have one rented. and settle things while we drive. Right.
Okay, Richie. You happy now?
Oh, for goodness sakes, get out of here.
Not without you, Richie. Where I sit, you're too comfortable. Too nice and clean.
What do you mean?
I'm the only guy who can tie you up in this racket. Something happens to me, you're in the clear.
Look, Nick...
Besides, there's no reason you couldn't walk out on me. Then I'm out on a limb.
I wouldn't do that, Nick.
Maybe not. But I believe in insurance. Partnership insurance. I'm going to take some out on you. Frank Garrett's help.
Nick, how long are we going to sit here? Frank's been at that corner table 2 minutes already.
Don't get anxious. Just want to make sure there's no tail on him.
No one's come in since he did.
I know. I've been watching.
There are no cars out in the street. Only that truck over there.
Mm-hmm. I guess it's okay. Let's go. Garrett will follow us.
Peters, the direction Garrett takes. You follow Peters. Peters, you pick up his trail.
Right, Dave. A car is coming out of the lot now. A blue Dodge sedan. It's Garrett. Two other men with him. Going east, Peters. You can pick him up 2 blocks down.
Okay, Nick, what's the pitch? Who's this guy?
Relax, Frank. We need a chauffeur.
Don't be cute. Who is he?
I'll tell you, Frank. He's the nice man who's been selling all our stuff for us.
Nick.
Shut up. I want you to meet the hired help. Frank, this is Mr. Richardson, the president of Product Buyers Incorporated.
Why, Nick, you've never been so generous with information before.
I want this to be one big happy family. Besides, suppose something should happen to me. If you didn't know Richie, who'd help you?
Nick, let's get to the point.
They got plenty of time.
No, no, not me. I want to get my dough and jump bail before the counter spies put another tail on me.
Well, you got a point. Hey, car behind us.
Yeah, I didn't bring no tail with me.
Faster, Richie. See if that car stays with us. Okay, turned off. There's a dirt road up ahead at your left. Turn in there, Richie.
All right.
Anything else behind us, Frank?
Just a laundry truck.
Well, let him pass us, Reggie. Okay. Turn in.
How far do I go?
I'll tell you when.
How much dough you got for me, Nick?
Five grand?
Hey, I can skip the country with that.
Why not? Be a lot safer for everybody with you out of the country. All right, that's good enough, Richie. Stop here.
Pick the gun.
What's the matter, Frank? You've seen guns before.
Nick, look, give me my dough. Let me lay 'em. I'm a right guy, you know that.
Sure. We've been buddies for a long time.
Yeah, that's right, Nick. You wouldn't...
Kill you? What kind of a heel do you think I am?
Oh, no, Nick. I didn't think anything like that.
Well, why should you? Now, if Richie...
Nick, you need me.
Of course I do. Why should I kill a guy I need?
We could take the dough, Nick.
Nick,
and we...
put those guns away.
Don't get excited, Richie. I'm giving one to you.
Me?
Ah, I couldn't kill my buddy. But you could. Then I wouldn't be a heel.
Nick, no. I won't do it, Nick. I can't.
Richie, you'd rather die instead of him?
Look, Nick,
Shut up, Frank. You wanted to leave the country, and now you're going to. Come on, Richie.
I want something nice and big on you. Like murder.
Please, Nick, don't make me... Who's that?
Shut up. I heard it, too. Somebody over there in the brush. Yeah.
Here! Over here!
Why, you
over
crazy fool!
All right, Garrett, buddy. You're covered from all
sides. Counterspy!
They won't get it.
No, no, don't shoot, Nick.
You want it the hard way, you get it that way. Peters, give him a sample.
Take me!
Nick, no!
I go on my arm, you crazy fool.
I don't
fool.
Want to die.
This is your last chance.
Come on! Come on, I've got it!
I'll kill you.
He does it, Nick, Frank, you double-crossing rat.
Get him out of this picture, Dave.
Two crooks holding the third one for
it. Very pretty.
The gun.
Take Bodie's gun.
Drop it, Bodie. I'll drop it.
Oh.
I said drop it.
Oh, sorry, Kevin.
Okay, get out of that car. You're all under arrest for postal theft, except Nick Bodie, who's also under arrest for murder.
Murder? You're nuts.
You killed Jimmy Morrison and Kathy Thomas, and we'll prove it in court.
All right, start walking. As far as that laundry truck down the road.
Laundry truck? You've been tailing us all this way.
Right, Bodie, and we'll keep tailing you straight up to the prison gates.
Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, same station, to Counter Spy. Listen next Tuesday for the exciting counter spy case of the Visiting Vultures.
Counter Spy on Tuned to Yesterday programs from September 20th and the 22nd of 1949 on ABC. That wraps up this hour of adventure on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levillier. Thanks for listening.